I'm Leo Green. Welcome along to Aretha Franklin in a Lifetime. From one of Aretha's 1968 albums, Aretha Now, which we were looking at in our last episode of this series. Welcome along. I do hope all's well with you. The third album she released that year would become one of the most lauded and celebrated live albums of all time, Aretha in Paris. On one hand, the brilliance of this album is that it gives us an indication some half a century later what it must have been like to see Aretha live, but because it wasn't the Muscle Shoals musicians on the road with her, from whom we've heard from in recent episodes, there's definitely a different feel from the studio recordings. The tempos were changed and the players are different. So the songs sound different. Not better, not worse, but definitely different. After all, these weren't musical parts that could be notated. Have a listen to the tempo of this one. This is the studio version. And now, just listen how much Aretha speeded up the live version to help create even more excitement to her performance. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. And I try, tell you I'll try. Tell you me I'll try. I sure don't try. But I can't get.
Yes, it is. Hey, hey, hey. I'll be what's worth saying.
Aretha live in Paris. Her trips to Europe, unfortunately, would become rarer and rarer and would stop altogether after she refused to fly anywhere. So a live album like this becomes even more precious.
Do you feel good? Do you feel real good? Good enough to help me sing this next song? Oh, I bet you don't even remember it. Change, change, change.
Aretha in Paris. Let's leave 1968 now and see what Aretha was up to the following year when she would release just one new studio album. It was different from all her other releases on Atlantic that we've heard from in this series, in that all the songs were cover versions, not just written by other people, but also songs that have been hits for other people. And what's interesting is that listening to the album Soul 69, Aretha sounds amazing, but it turned out to be the worst performing album from a commercial perspective, which, well, given how great the tracks sound, seems almost perverse.
People say I'm the life of the party because I tell a joke or two. Well, although I may be laughing loud and hearty, deep inside I'm blue. So take a the tracks of my tears.
fabulous. That's from Aretha's Soul 69 album. When Aretha was growing up, thanks to her father's standing in America's Baptist church community, musicians from all the genres would seek him out whenever they were in the area. Mr. Franklin Sr. was the very first black preacher in America to release his sermons as commercial recordings. He had his own radio show and was a hugely prominent and significantly vital figure in 1950s American black culture. And his stature attracted many of the black stars to his house. Aretha's brother Cecil has described how sometimes, as small kids, they'd be woken by the sound of live music being played in the house by musicians, whether that be the jazz greats like Oscar Peterson or Art Tatum, or the black pop stars of the day like Jackie Wilson or Sam Cooke. And Aretha, not yet in double figures, would be downstairs singing with these stars. I guess in the same way that a child blessed with great ball skills can throw or kick a ball around with the adults, she was just doing it with music. On the album Soul 69, she recorded this tribute to her great friend Sam Cooke. Aretha singing Sam Cooke on what I really think is a very highly underrated album, Soul 69. Although the album featured none of the musical Shoals rhythm section that we've heard about in previous episodes, it did include some of the great jazz players of the time, Grady Tate was brought in on drums, and members of some of the great big bands were brought into the studio to play the horn parts. Aretha only plays piano on three of the tracks, one of which was Tracks of My Tears, which we heard earlier, and the other one was this epic vocal performance of a song that had originally been a huge country hit for Glen Campbell.
Knowing that your door is always open and your path is real walk. That makes me know that I can leave my sleeping bag behind your couch.
Be right there.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it'll be right there.
It's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds. And your ink stains that have dried upon some land. Show on the back road.
Aretha singing one of Glen Campbell's classics. The bebop piano player, a guy called Junior Mance, had been booked to play piano on this next one, and his style is in total contrast to the driving, blues-drenched gospel of Aretha's style, so it does give us a more relaxed-sounding recording, which allows us, I suppose, to focus even more on Aretha's voice. There's much more musical space around her vocals, perhaps because she's not accompanying herself. It's a new sound for Aretha on the Atlantic label, and although it may not have been a big commercial success, hearing her sing this old country ballad is still thrilling.
Smile. Just let it
That's Aretha concluding this edition of In a Lifetime, where we are celebrating the amazing Aretha Franklin. Thanks for listening. Don't forget you can listen to this show again, should you want to, via the Listen Again page. Please tell all your friends about us, visit the website, and check out what else we have for you.
Sweet surrendering your eyes. Tell me, how can I be free when I still remember how you thrilled me with one smile? Yours for my control. Out of my heart, our love remains, baby.
This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.